Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Chasing Freedom Podcast with Noah and Jeff.
In this show, we're going to dive deep into flips, wholesales, holding rentals, and creatively structuring deals.
So that we can show you how you can achieve that lifestyle of freedom that you desire. Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. This is Jeff and Noah with the Chasing Freedom Podcast. We are stoked that you guys are here with us again. This is going to be a little kickoff episode telling you what to expect with this podcast. We're super stoked to share some knowledge with you guys and some wisdom. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so before we jump into our stories and why we got started in real estate and where we started and how we got to where we are now, we wanted to share a little bit with you about why we're doing this show. For me personally, I'm hoping that it helps other people feel that they can do big, scary, hard things. If you're already a seasoned investor, I hope that this helps you scale to the next level. So for me, I'm just hoping to give value. I'm hoping that people come to the show, they learn something, they take something from it, they do an actionable item from whatever they, you know, they hear from our guest or from us, and they go make a difference in their business. They go make money, they go make a deal happen, they help somebody close a distressed home, whatever it is. I just want people to grow and learn.
Yep. Yeah, same here, man. I'm stoked to have, we're going to have some really high-level players on this show, so we're really excited for them to add value to your guys' business, share their kind of failures, their successes. You guys can learn from both of those, right? And then just really just inspire people to chase their dreams, right? The show is called Chasing Freedom for a reason. Like, we built a business to chase freedom, to chase time, to create time freedom. So that's what we're hoping to inspire here. I'm actually really passionate about, like, the fact that entrepreneurs themselves find themselves in just a different rat race, right? Like, you're like, oh, I left the corporate world to get out of this rat race. But then you look 5 years in the past and like, dang, I'm just in a different rat race. So I'm really passionate about, hey, how can you automate? How can you scale? How can you really grow a business, not just a successful real estate company, but a business that really allows you to get that freedom that you were after in the first place? So,
yeah, I think that's a huge factor that really we need to talk about. It's like, why did we name the show what we named it? I think too many people just are like, after this false summit, like we've talked about this a lot, like a false summit, right? So it's like you say, I want to make six figures this year.
Yeah.
And then you make six figures and then you realize that that's not enough because you also raised your living costs.
Yeah.
So now you need to make 150. Now you need to make two. And you never stop chasing this false summit. The whole point of this show and what we do, Chasing Freedom, mm-hmm. is to identify on the back end, what it is that we want to achieve, right? Which you and I want to be able to, on any given day, choose exactly how we're going to spend that day, yep. and with who we're going to spend that day.
Yep.
Now, we're lucky early on in our business. We have some of those choices already, right? Like,
yeah.
we turn down certain partnerships and opportunities yeah. if the person's not a right fit, if we don't want to be around that person. And I think the next step of that is just automating our business to where we get to make the choice on a day-by-day basis of yeah. what we want to do.
Yeah.
But before we get there comes discipline and we have to, you know, act within certain roles and do certain things yeah. to achieve that freedom. But yeah, that's the whole point is like, that's what we want this show to do is help other people get more freedom. I was actually listening to a podcast a couple weeks ago and this really hit home. And I think it helped me identify, it helped me to come up with this name of the show. Cause it was about that time that I was listening to it, but it was, they talked about this. They had asked the other host or the guest, and they said, hey, how many times a year do you go see your parents? The guy proudly said, probably like two times a year. Like, okay, that's pretty good, man. Like, that's awesome. Like, you're taking time out of your busy schedule. You're a successful entrepreneur to go see your family. He's like,
yep.
how old are your parents? Like, I go, 60, 65. He's like, okay, cool. Your parents got about 20 years left. I don't mean to be grim, but your parents got about 20 years left.
Yeah.
So you've got 40 more trips to go see your mom and dad.
Yep.
You have 40 more visits for the rest of your life, and then they're gone.
Yep.
How does that make you feel? And the guy was like, I'm going to go plan a trip to go see them right after this show, and yeah. I'm going next week.
Yeah.
Because it's not acceptable. So I think it's important to realize that time is the only resource we can't get back.
Yep.
We could fail tomorrow in business and lose everything.
Yep.
And rebuild it and be back where we are in 12 months.
Yeah, easy.
Or 3 years. It doesn't matter, yep. right? But that time in between will never get back.
Yep. Yep, that's good. Yeah, man, we're just all about inspiring people, right? Like, we want to inspire people. One, take that next step in your business. Two, really, there's, like, you got to define why you're doing this, right? Like, we talk about the why all the time, and successful entrepreneurs talk about the why all the time. What's the why behind what you're doing? What's your motivation? What gets you up in the morning? Is it money? Probably going to fail. Is it time? Well, then let's find a way to create more time, by making money that then buys you time, right? And then let's find a way to then go and give that money to other people and help them to chase time and to get that time back as well. So those are the things that you'll kind of find as the reoccurring themes on these shows, is that we're just passionate about creating freedom, creating time, inspiring people to take those big steps, those next step, and then always, always, always finding a way to give back to other people.
Yeah, the giving back is huge. I feel like I say this to everybody all the time. It's like the more people you help get what they want, whatever it is that you're looking for or looking to achieve, pours in abundance.
Yep, 100%.
It's super simple, but people always miss the mark.
Yep.
And it's funny too, because it's like I've gotten really good at picking up on that. When someone comes to me with something and they're like, hey, can you help me with this? They're just hoping to take something from me. They say that they see that I've done well or you've done well in something, yeah, and they just want to reap some of that benefit, yeah, or that value for themselves. Yeah. But what are they bringing?
Yeah.
Because people generally don't get a response from me.
Yep.
They generally don't go into deals with me or end up working with me in any capacity.
Yeah.
But there is a difference. There's a few people in the past couple of months that have come up and they've said, hey, it looks like maybe I can help you out with this. Like, yeah, can I bring you deals? Can I do this? Can I, yeah, do X, Y, Z? And you're like, you want to help? Well, then whatever it is that you're looking to do, I want to help you do it.
Yeah.
Because you're willing to help me. And that's a game changing, like, twist in mindset. Like,
yeah,
trying to help other people will always give you what you want.
Yeah.
It's got to be genuine.
Yeah. Adding value. Like, that's how you get success in this world, right? You come to people and you bring, mm-hmm, value to them. So it's a big deal. Well, hey, if we're going to talk about real estate investing and entrepreneurship and how to take steps, well, then we better give you a little backstory about who we are, right?
Right.
A lot of the folks listening to this show will know who Noah and Jeff are, especially if you're local to the Boise market here. But as we start to grow, we want everybody to have an opportunity to hear our backstory and hear who we are. So we'll start with Noah. Noah, how'd you get started in real estate? What inspired you? What were your first couple steps that you took?
Yeah, so one of the guests we're going to end up having on is Brody Fawcett. And so for me, what always made something real is if somebody that was associated with me or things around me could do something, I always felt like I could do it.
Yeah.
So when I went to school at Southern Utah University, Brody also went there. Brody started buying rentals. I was kind of following him on social media and watching what he did.
Yeah.
I moved out to Washington, worked in a corporate job that was not for me. And I thought, man, Brody came from the same place I came from. He went to the same school. He didn't come from the same place I went. He came from the same school. So Brody, I was like, if he could do it, I could do it. So I reached out to him. I said, hey, how do I get into real estate? What do I do? What's this whole thing? He directed me to Bigger Pockets. And then I just started diving in. I was like, yeah, okay, what part of this business do I want to go into? I don't have any money. I have a little bit of time. And I have a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
So, or good work ethic. So I went into wholesaling. 8 months, 2 failed partnerships, a couple $1,000 lost. I finally landed my first deal.
Nice.
It was a $10,000 assignment. I had no idea what I was doing. I actually erased my name on the purchase and sales agreement and put the new person in because I didn't know what the assignment form was. Luckily, the guy was a good guy and still paid me my $10,000.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But so I just snowballed it. So I took that $10,000, I rolled it in. Found a mentor, actually went to work for him for a couple of years, learned how to really scale the wholesaling side of things, then moved to Boise, Idaho, bought a house hack duplex type of thing to set myself up again, like building a real, really rock solid foundation where I could take more risk.
Yep.
And that's kind of where you and I met. And then we started doing flips and wholesales and land plays, and yep, kind of brings us to where we're at now.
Yeah. Yeah. Full circle. Yeah, so as you, when you moved to Boise, what made you want to take that jump towards, hey, now let's, I've wholesaled before, I'm kind of passionate about real estate. What made you want to take that jump to really scaling up the business and taking that next step? Because what I see is a lot of people just get comfortable, right? Like, they're like, hey, I made some bucks wholesaling. It's pretty safe. It's relatively easy. It's not a lot of risk involved, right? That's like the lower end risk spectrum of, mm-hmm, of investing is wholesaling. So a lot of people get stuck there. So talk about what inspired you, what made you comfortable, what steps you really took to set up being able and willing to take that next step into flipping and land plays and really just full-scale build out.
Yeah, so I think it starts with a why, right? I feel like it's easy to be comfortable at a certain wage level or income level when you don't have a why, a bigger reason.
Yeah.
For me, if I'm gonna get super real here, I have one like major motivation in life, and that's to provide an exceptional life to my children that don't even exist yet. So I think God plays a big part in that. God is a big reason that I think I'm successful, that I'm able to do the things I'm able to do, because I'm at the end of everything, I'm really doing it for Him.
Yeah.
But I have this belief that my children are up in heaven waiting for me, and I'm building a life for them now. And I want that life to be everything that I didn't have, and a lot of things that I did have that I don't want them to experience. But I can't do that unless I work really hard right now.
Yeah.
So for me, that all comes through passive income, right? Like, long term, I need to buy and build a rental portfolio to be able to have the lifestyle I want to have.
Yep.
At least that's how I see it. There's other people achieve passive income in a number of different ways, but for me, it's building a rental portfolio.
Yeah.
So wholesaling alone doesn't get me there.
Yeah.
I have to build a business that scales, that can operate without me at some point.
Yep.
So that way I can focus on building the portfolio, grow the rentals, have the cash flow to be able to do it, because it's expensive, right? Like,
yeah,
it takes money to make money, yep, takes money to buy rentals. So, big picture, I just have always thought, like, okay, I need a couple hundred rental doors to be able, yep, to sustain being a fully present dad. Like, my one goal is that my kids will look back on life one day and be like, holy crap, I didn't realize that my dad was more present than anyone around me. He was there for everything. He had so much time with me, because I'll never get that time back. I can always, like I said, I can always make more money. I always buy more properties.
Yeah.
If I fail, I could always restart, but I can't get my time back with those loved ones.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
the big why, thinking big picture. And then how did I make that jump to scaling? I can be a big risk taker, but I'm also I also try to avoid risk.
Yeah.
So for me, the house hack and finding a way to have no mortgage payments. So I started off by lowering all my expenses.
Yeah.
I paid off my cars. I had no debt. I had no debt from college. And then my house hack, my renters pay for my entire mortgage payment.
Yep.
So without having any expenses, I could take a lot more risk.
Yeah.
Everyone else has to worry about, hey, I got to pay my bills. I got to make, yep, sure I can afford this. Like, can I take on this marketing channel? And then it was figuring out, like, Boise itself and, like, what parts do I want to flip in? So, like, identifying, like, target markets.
Yeah.
And then going deep into those target markets and doing some sniper marketing methods, like,
yeah,
driving for dollars, door knocking, cold calling. And then quickly realizing that, like, hey, I'm just building a wholesale business again. How do I scale this?
Yeah.
And then I think that's kind of, like, where you came into the picture. I was like, okay, I could find leads. I can negotiate contracts. I can lock up good things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's find somebody who can flip things really, yeah, well. And that was you. So I think that that's a crucial part, is like the people you bring into your business. Traction talks about this, right people, right seats,
mm-hmm,
right? Having you be in the right seat and me be in the right seat, where it's like, okay, I'm really good at finding properties and operations and that type of stuff. You're really good at making sure flips are executed in an efficient way. That's like rocket fuel.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think I did two flips before you and they were horrible. They took forever. I didn't make a ton of money. When you came onto the business, I don't know exactly where your business was at before, but we're not where we're at now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
it just blew up.
Yeah.
Because now we have two people that are good at what they're doing and two people in the right seats, which allowed us to do infinitely more. And we've said this multiple times, 1 + 1 = 2 when you're, yeah, talking about people in a business. 1 + 1 = 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's for sure. Yeah. And so, I like to get granular in this podcast, right? We like to give some details. So we talk about, hey, you started out pretty small wholesaling, and then now, just a little backstory, guys. Noah and I are partners. We're on track to do about 36 flips this year, about 15 wholesales and 12 infills. So we'll do above 50 deals this year, not even including our rentals. So we went from, or Noah went from wholesaling a couple deals a year just 3 years ago to on track to do 50 plus deals this year in our local market, plus 15 to 20 rentals out of state, right? Mm-hmm. So 70 potential deals in a 12-month span. So obviously along the way, there was probably missteps. There's probably failures. Let's talk about a failure. What was a failure that came along that you wish you would have done differently, or what did you learn from that failure that then set you up for success in the future?
I think the biggest mindset change, and I wouldn't say that this has happened such a long time ago. I feel like it's happened, then I forget about it, and it happens again. But it's to stop chasing or stop thinking that you're going to convince someone to sell their property to you. Mm. I've wasted a ton of time on that. And that's, yeah, that's been super frustrating, right?
Yeah.
It's like we chase these leads down for months at a time. Follow-up is super important.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yep.
But thinking at some point that you're going to convince someone to sell a property to you that doesn't have motivation,
yeah,
that was such a, one, a deal killer, two, a motivation killer for me.
Yeah.
Because I sit there and I talk to these people and I'm like, oh my gosh, man, I just can't get a deal. But instead, had I just moved on to the next one and said, okay, cool, guess what? That doesn't work. I'm going to go knock five more doors. That doesn't work. I'm going to go call 10 more people.
Yeah.
Probably could have done exponentially a larger amount of deals. But I think it's all that's important now is that I've learned from it, right?
Yeah.
Good lessons cost money and great ones cost a lot.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's one of the things we've been focusing on lately is, hey, let's we're not going to kick leads to the curb, right? Leads are valuable. But you can get on a phone call in 30 seconds and say, well, is there some motivation here? Yeah. Or am I going to be on the phone with 10 minutes or for 10 minutes for a dead lead? So, yeah, I think that's good, man. I think that's really important got to factor in your time as well. You got to say, I can't be on the phone for 15 minutes with somebody who kind of wants to sell their house.
Yeah.
Or somebody who literally doesn't even know their address. This happened to us the other day. So we got to sift those guys out and focus on the hot leads. Well, cool, man. What advice would you give to folks who are listening to this podcast, who are getting ready to take that next step, scale their business up, who are just really wanting to get started?
Yeah, I would say find one or two resources that you're going to dive really deep into, because the space is clouded with too much information, right? So if you're looking everywhere, you're going to get freaked out. You're going to think, oh, wholesaling's illegal, or I can't do this, or I can't do this, or what about this? So pick one or two great resources. For me, like when I started, I picked Wholesaling Inc., one podcast.
Yeah.
I listened to like 150 episodes. The other podcast was the Real Deals podcast by, at the time, Tucker Merrihy ran that podcast. I listened to like 80 episodes of that podcast.
Nice.
Those two channels got me started, right? But had I been on BiggerPockets and said, oh, maybe I could do a flips, or maybe I could do syndications, or maybe I could do X, Y, or Z. So you also need to pick one channel when you're starting.
Yep.
Like, people see that we have a lot of channels, but also, like, you came from a flipping background where you just did flips. I came from a wholesaling background where I just did wholesales.
Yep.
We take that experience and we blend it together and we're able to do a lot.
Yeah.
But when, starting off, there's no way I could have done flips, wholesales, land developments, new builds, all these things. Like, you need to pick one. Pick one niche. Pick a couple resources that you're going to dive really deep into and go at them all the time, and then take action.
Yeah.
So set your back end goal up. Like, if your goal is to do 10 wholesale deals in a year, then you need to work backwards. Look at the KPIs, right? Okay, to hit 10 wholesales, I need 100,000 leads, because I'm only going to get 1% of those leads to pick up the phone. So I'm only going to talk to 10,000 people. And out of that, I have a 1% close ratio. So I'm only, you know, setting 1,000 appointments. And then from the 1,000 appointments, maybe you get 100 things under, or 100 properties under contract, and you have an 80% close ratio from that. So there you go. Now you just worked backwards. So work backwards, and then now you know what you need to do per day.
Yeah.
Because I find that there's a lot of business owners that, like, sometimes they'll wake up, and if there's not any fires to put out, they're like,
yeah, what do I do?
What do I do today? I don't know.
Yeah.
Do I send some emails off? Do I set some more appointments? Yeah. I don't know. Should I go networking? Like, what do I do? But if you know what your end goal is, you know every single day what you need to do, because you want to hit that goal.
Yeah.
But let's jump over to you real quick. So why don't we talk about, like, why you got started? What's your why? Like, how did you want to push past doing a couple flips to where we're at now?
Yeah. So I got started. I was working for a guy. He owned like four or five different businesses, and I was working for him, just kind of being his, they actually called me the puppy. I don't think I've ever told you this. That was my nickname. I was the puppy, right? So I was in training. I was just, hey, do whatever I tell you to do, right? Sit, stand, do whatever. And he was a cool dude. He was one of my lifelong mentors. Unfortunately, he passed away. But he taught me a lot about business, and I realized quickly that he had something that I wanted, and then that was freedom, right? That was that, like, yeah, I saw the financial success that he had, but he was also smart. Like, he drove a minivan that he had owned for 15 years. Like, he wore the same clothes from the 90s. Like, the dude was so retro, it was crazy. But he just, like, had this life set up where if he wanted to go visit his family back east, he'd go visit his family. If he wanted to go on vacation, he'd go visit his family on vacation. And so I just started asking him more questions, like, hey, how'd you set up your business? How did you do this? And then I came to find out that he had flipped properties for a while. And that, like, while he had four or five businesses, his true passion was real estate. Mm. But he had never made the jump to full-time real estate. And me being who I am, I'm just a hype guy. Like, that's who I am. Like, I decide I want to do something, I'm like, dude, let's do it. It's the coolest thing that exists. And I will convince you it's the coolest thing that exists. So there was some seminar came to town, and I went for a couple of days and just learned a little bit about real estate, because honestly, I didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. I just knew, hey, I have a connection to this guy who's passionate about real estate, but doesn't have the time or energy to plug into it full time. So I went to this seminar. I came back the next day and I said, hey, I'm quitting, but I would like to partner with you on some real estate deals. If I get deals, would you be able to fund them? And he's like, yeah, sure. Good luck getting deals. And I was like, okay, cool. We'll figure this out. So I started looking at the Path of Progress in Portland, Oregon at the time, and found some neighborhoods that were right on the cusp of gentrification, right? So still a little rough, mainly rental neighborhoods, but the boundaries were pushing that way. And so I just went to those neighborhoods and started door knocking. Got a tenant who I was actually like, hey, yeah, we just got evicted. You can call the landlord. I called the landlord. And I was like, hey, I want to buy the property. And he's like, you're an idiot. This is a rental market. Like, I was like, no, I'm going to flip it. And he's like, you're an idiot. Literally, the guy called me an idiot like five times. I was like, whatever, dude, I'll take the property. So locked it up, got a pretty good deal on it, convinced this guy Scott to partner with me. And so that's how we got started.
So he brought the money and helped you with the loan.
Yeah, he got, so we actually formed, we decided like we really enjoyed each other. He was a great mentor of mine. So we actually started an LLC together and we were going to do this full time together. And then we had a third partner, which was my brother-in-law, Seth. And so all three of us partnered together to do the business. And then we got one more deal. Those deals didn't go well. One made money, one lost money. So all in all, like we paid for our education program and then walked away with like $2,000 to $3,000 a piece. So it was like, oh, it worked. We didn't lose money, but it wasn't the best thing ever. So after that, we kind of stepped back and me and Scott, we continued to do some deals and Seth went and did his own thing. But what I realized in that is that to do flips at a high level, I needed to have more of a knowledge in construction and project management. So I actually stepped away from flipping for like 2 years and just did project management for a high-end remodel company in Southeast Portland. And I learned a lot about how to run projects effectively, which it sucks to think that I lost 2 years of not running my own business, but also like there's the trade-off. Like now I'm able to, like, we have 27 active units right now and I maybe go to one of them once a week and they run themselves because of what I learned with this company, yeah. Right? So yeah, I wasn't flipping for 2 years, but I learned a lot. And then there was always a plan, right? Mm-hmm. Like it was never like, hey, I'm doing this because I just enjoy project management. No, it was, hey, let me learn project management and then start my business again and go down that path. So about year two and that business was going really well. I was making stupid money I was like 19 at the time, making like $100,000 a year on a W-2. Like there was really no reason for me to leave except for the why, except for the underlying, like, one, I cannot work for people. I was not wired that way. It doesn't exist. So I started looking for projects again, found a couple projects and started flipping. But for me, like on the why side, like I grew up extremely poor. Like some people hear my story sometimes, like, how did you even make it? I don't know, man. Like didn't even have a bed until I was like 16 years old. Like grew up stupid poor and knew that I was never going to go back to that and knew that, again, God, same thing, like God blessed me in my life and I knew I wanted to change that. I wanted to have a generational blessing for my family that was different than the life that I had.
Yeah.
So for me, it was, how do I switch this trajectory? How do I get some financial freedom so I can be with my kids, right? How do I get some financial freedom so my kids are set up for life because they'll never live a life that I live? So that was my big motivational force. And then as it started to go and I started to make money, like that quickly became like, how do I do this for other people? So I had like not an epiphany, but like I think it was only like 6 months or so. I called you and I was like, dude, I want to be measured. Like when I get to heaven, like obviously God will look at me and he'll judge me and he'll say, hey, these are things you did well. This is why you're going to heaven, blah, blah. But what I hope happens is that there's also this list of millionaires that I helped to create on the business side, right? Like I just hope there's this list of like, hey, here are people that had no opportunity in life and you helped to inspire them. You helped to teach them. You helped to show them a path. And so for me, that was when I was pretty hesitant when we were like, hey, let's do a podcast. Like, I don't know, man. And I got inspired like, hey, no, like my new why is like, yeah, I want generational blessing for my family, but I also want to switch the trajectory for other people's lives. Because when you look at other people, like, it's funny, man, too much backstory, but I was watching American Idol and I told you this. I was watching American Idol and these guys are just like, my only chance to get out of this impoverished area to do anything in life is to be a good singer. And I'm a big sports guy. So then I go, oh, you know, that's the sports sector too. Like LeBron made it out of Akron because he was good at basketball. Like these guys make it out of these distressed places because they're good at sports. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, man, there's such an easier path. Like not everybody is wired to be a great singer. Not everybody's built to be a good athlete, but I can teach anybody to do real estate.
Yep.
I can teach anybody to follow steps and do real estate. So I just got inspired. Like, man, it's so sad seeing people who think they only have one or two options when this is a third option. Starting a business, being an entrepreneur is a third option, and it's really not as hard as people think.
Anybody can do it.
Anybody.
You just need to, you need to have a bigger reason at the end that keeps you, that keeps pulling you through the ups and downs.
Yeah.
Because it, dude, it's
a lot of
it's,
ups and downs.
It is, right? Like, you'll have extreme highs, and you could all be in one day.
Yeah.
You could be all the way up top at 8 a.m. By 9 a.m., you're like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what I'm doing. By 10 a.m., you're like, literally, I'm going bankrupt.
Yep.
And then 11, 12, you're like, everything's fine. I don't know why I'm freaking out.
I'm going to be rich. It's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So your big why was you want to create this, you want to break this trend that's been in your family. You want your children to have a different life.
Yep.
And then, you know, altruistically, outside of that, you want to create wealth for other people.
Yep.
And you want to change their lives because your life has been changed.
Yeah.
I think that's deep, man.
Yeah, I got this big goal of giving away 50% of my income this year, which no one knows what I'll make this year. And as I say that, he's like, holy, you're going to do what? That's my goal, man. I and it won't just be like, hey, here's 10 grand, go and run. Yeah. But it'll be like, hey, one of the big things I plan on doing is like quarter four, like opening up, like just like I'll probably just post on my story, but be like, hey, who in my friend circle has been wanting to take a step in business and has a great idea, but doesn't have the finances or is scared? And then spend some time mentoring those people or fund that business, be a partner in that business. One, it's a great idea to build wealth, but also it goes and helps somebody who's not willing or able to take that next step. So, yeah,
make
man.
Sure, make sure they have skin in the game.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, I won't be dumb about it. But I also, like I'm a firm believer that, like, I'm where I am today, yes, because I work hard, but also, like, I've had opportunities in my life that I captured, but they were given to me by other people.
Yeah.
So, like, so this guy, Scott, being willing to mentor me, like, bro, I was an 18-year-old stupid stoner. Like, I was a dumb kid who had no business even being in his business, let alone forming a partnership with me. But he saw something in me. He saw the motivation. He saw the why. And he was like, hey, I think this will be something good.
Yeah.
So I think it's just it's action, but then it's being able to capture those opportunities. And so my whole passion now is making sure that everybody that I can reach has an opportunity. And if that needs to come from me, let it come from me, right? So that's what I'm passionate about. On the business side, like, I just always, anytime I get a chance to talk to people, like, action and consistency. Those are the two things I'll always harp. Just take action. It's not that hard. Like, when people hear, like, oh, hey, you can start a real estate business and be successful, everyone's a skeptic off the bat.
100%.
But, dude, like, literally, I could write you a 10 to 15-step plan, and if you follow this plan, you will be a millionaire at the end of it. Like, it is literally that easy, and it's not going to be my plan. It's going to be the plan of my mentors, and their mentors and the mentors before them.
We're not reinventing a wheel.
We're not. We're just rinse and repeat. That's all we do. Rinse and repeat and take the action to start and then have the consistency to do the follow-up. If you do those two things, you will find success in whatever it is that you're pursuing.
I agree completely. I think that's what's funny is so many people want to try to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
There's been a consistent thing that I've seen pop up multiple times. And I've talked with you about this. Like, I feel like God puts the same message in front of me multiple times. I'm lucky enough that he's like, hey, you didn't hear me the first time. Why don't I just tell you three more times? Okay, thank you for finally listening.
Yeah.
But simple skills.
Yep.
Keep it stupid simple.
Yeah.
Right? Like, people overcomplicate things. They have too many procedures and steps, and they think you've got to jump through all these hoops. And it's like, no, simple skills.
Yep. Easy.
So one thing I want to hear from you that I think will help the listeners is let's kind of maybe talk about, like, your mindset from the get-go. Like, where did you want to be? Where did 19-year-old Jeff think 30-year-old Jeff would be? And then let's bring it present tense and ask some more questions about, like, your vision long term.
Yeah, so 19-year-old Jeff was a punk, dude. 19-year-old Jeff only wanted to get rich and have a big house and nice cars and all this stuff. So God humbled me when I was about 23 years old. Had a decently successful business from 19 to 23. 23 got stripped all away and I had to rebuild. So everything I have now has been rebuilt in the past 3-4 years, right? And built properly because I learned from my mistakes. But so 19-year-old Jeff had dumb plans, dumb visions. 23, 24-year-old Jeff really took time to say, hey, what is it that I want to do? So, I mean, I don't really have, like, a list of, like, oh, I want to have this much money or this many rental doors. Like, I really just want time. That is all I care about. Like, I have, sorry for whoever's listening, my kids are cuter than yours. Like, I have the two cutest kids that exist in this world. Like, they're adorable. And all I want to do is lay in bed with them and watch cartoons, take them to the water park, take them to the beach. Mm-hmm. That is all that I want to do. That is what inspires me. And I think that's why I'm so successful at business, because I know that there's a lot that I have to do on the front end to get there. So my big motivation is get there as fast as I can
yep.
and do whatever it takes right now in this moment to get there. But at the same time, don't sacrifice the moments that I have now.
Yeah.
So for me, like, I was fortunate that our business scaled so fast. And that when we scaled, I think we scaled differently than other people. We didn't scale by minimizing profits. We just, like, I don't know how it happened, but we maximized profits. We have some of the highest returns per flip in our area. Like, quarter one, we averaged $76,000 a flip. Like, that's unheard of for an average that's on a flip.
Unreal. Yeah.
That included, like, 2-bedroom, 1-bath, 3-week flips. That included some full tears. Like, there was a lot of different flips that went into that. But that's a high margin. So I think since we scaled to so many flips and kept that volume, that now we have all this financial freedom that came super quick. So we've been really fortunate. Whereas, like last week I went to Washington. This week you're going camping. In a couple of weeks we're going to Puerto Rico. Like, we're very fortunate to have that, and it's awesome that we do. But it's because we set it up on the front end.
Yeah.
But what I want to harp on is, yes, set it up on the front end and grind, but be smart about how you grind. Like time block, because if you're gonna lose sight of family time in that grind, well, then I'm sorry, you're not really after family time in the long haul. Because
yep.
I see a lot of people who are like, no, just grind now and then you'll get that family time. And then 3 years goes by and they've been working 60, 80-hour weeks and they never see their kids and their wife's mad at them all the time. And then 10 years down the road, they're like, damn, my kids are going off to college and I never even actually spent time with them. I promise you, kid, like, this has been my biggest fear. I don't get motivated by fears often, but this has been one of the ones that, like, lingers in the back of my head as I literally see my son, like, leaving to college and I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I don't know you well enough. Like, I'm sorry you're leaving. And my goal, I promise you, son, was to create time to spend with you. And I just couldn't do it. That was my biggest fear. So I was like, when that happened, I had to be so conscious on the front end to be like, no, I'll take some small sacrifices. I won't scale this up as quickly. I'll go a little slower. I'll make sure I'm spending time with my family, with my kid. Because you don't want to get yourself in this other rat race to where 15, 20 years down the road, you realize, dang, I'm still running.
And what sucks is that if that were to happen, and that happens for a lot of people.
It does.
There's absolutely nothing you can do about it now.
It's gone. You can't buy time back.
You can change your way of living, you can change your habits, but what's already gone is gone.
It's gone, man. That's why I always talk about time, man. Time and family, and that's why we all do it. I've never met somebody who's like, I'm going to take massive risk in my life and be a millionaire for the sake of the money.
Yep.
Never met one.
Yeah, because when you're after the wrong thing, you generally don't get that result.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep. So you don't have a specific idea of exactly, hey, here's a number of whatever I want and what, you know, working it backwards.
Instead, I mean, I got like a month, like I know what I need monthly to feel comfortable. It's a stupid number, but it's a number.
Sure.
So my goal is 50K a month passive. I don't need 50K a month, but mm-hmm. 50K a month will allow me to bless other people, to spend time with my family. And when I talk about spending time, like I want to homeschool my kids. Mm-hmm. I want to teach them about a checkbook and why to have good credit and why to have all these things that we don't teach in the public school system right now. But that's a whole nother rant for another day. But I want to teach my kids these things, right? And I want to teach them while traveling abroad, right? I want to have a couple houses across the world and travel and teach them things and expose mm-hmm. them to different cultures. Like, I want my kids to see things that I didn't see. So to me, like, it's a big number because that's what allows that to happen.
Yeah.
So 50, because I'm going to give 20 grand of it away. And then that 30K, that's what I'm going to live off of.
So that needs to be accounted for.
Yeah. We both give up that 10% and try and go above and beyond and give God what's his and then bless other people when we can. So mm-hmm. I have a big number because I want to do big things. But yeah, so 50K a month, that's my goal. Haven't factored how many rentals I need to get there just because it's always different in what market you're in or if you're going to single totally family portfolio yeah. or buying multifamily
cash or leveraging debt.
Yeah. And you know, like, I think we've done a really good job at scaling the business and starting to automate the business as well. So like, we've always talked about, like, when we got started in business, we talked about like, hey, we're going to build this rental portfolio and then 3 to 5 years, we'll probably be ready to step away and just live off a passive. Well, now I'm looking at how the business is growing and I'm going, dude, yeah, we could step away. But I don't think we ever have to relinquish.
No.
Like, this business will run and we, like, this will continue. It's an actual business now. It's not just real estate. It started out as high paying jobs for you and I
uh-huh.
that focus on real estate. Now we're a business that is automated, that real estate's just the product of that business.
Yeah.
And so as that starts to get set up, that allows us to, yeah, sure, my past that 50K a month passive income goal, it might not all be rentals. It might be 30K rentals, 20K that I continue to make as a salary from this company because this company does 200K a month.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a realistic option as well. So, yeah.
I like it. So then, you know what I think would be cool is, what does a dream day look like for you? Like, you're 10 years down the road. You have absolute freedom.
Yeah.
There's no constraints. Nobody needs you in the office. Yeah. You can go if you want to.
Yeah.
You can go check in on stuff if you want to, but what's that day look like for you?
You know what? It's waking up. I mean, I guess 10 years down the road, my kids aren't watching cartoons, so that's going to suck.
Five. They're still little.
Let's say five. Let's say they're still little. So, yeah, wake up. We watch cartoons, man. We hang out for like an hour and a half. Walk out. We're on the beach because I love the ocean, man. On the beach, we just hang out. Really, like, my dream day consists of doing whatever it is that my kids want to do that makes them happy. And then I'll be honest, I love business. So there's got to be some sort of like dopamine rush that comes from the business still for it to be like a perfect day. Like, hey, we just landed a 7-figure deal. Cool. Awesome. Just found out via my phone on a text. I never saw the property. Never talked to the seller. Made a bunch of money. That's the dream day. Because, you know, like, I love business. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm in this for a reason.
Business
like,
is fun.
Like, yeah, I want time, but I also really love doing what I do. Like, so I don't ever want to, like, fully be out, right?
Because
then what do you do? You know, you're going to spend time with your family. Yeah, that's fun. But also, like, men have been built specifically by God and created in a certain way. And it's scientifically proven that the dopamine that you get when you're working or that comes from, like, a high-level deal is different than the dopamine you can experience at home.
Yeah.
So we're wired to be those providers for our families. And so we'll always be tied to this business. We'll always be looking at the numbers. So
that's one thing that I am very conscious of with myself is that, you know, I think very quickly we'll be at a point where we don't need to work.
Yeah.
But I'll never be able to stop.
Yeah. It's too fun.
It's just in me.
Yeah.
It's in me. I love doing it. Like I like the risk. I like the dopamine hits of a win or a success or whatever. I also think that like something that we haven't really gotten to yet, but something that we will enjoy in the future is like seeing our team be successful.
Yeah.
Like, we've got the joy of having wins and getting deals done and all these things, but like we're just building this team up, and like I want a team family. Like I want people showing up to my house that work for me for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I want to bless their kids with awesome gifts, and I want them to like love their company so much that if a headhunter ever called them and offered them $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 more, they said there's not a chance I would leave my job.
Yep.
I would never leave. So
that's good.
Dude, this was fun, man. This was cool to sit down for us to explain ourselves, why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Why we're doing the podcast. We're excited for you guys to meet these guests. When we bring these people on, they're all high level players. They're all successful real estate investors. They're out in different niches and industries and different places.
Yeah.
But we hope that just resonates with you and it pushes you guys to do whatever it is you want to do. Life is too short to hate what you do.
Yep.
Your job is, and it's 8 hours a day. It's I'm curious what that math is. It's maybe it's like 20% of your life or whatever.
Oh, it's got to be more than that.
30, 40, 50.
You spend more time at work than you do awake in a day.
I spend way more time with you than I do with my wife.
Yeah, like it's true. So like my big thing is like I would rather lose everything doing what I love than live a life of complacency.
Yeah, 100%.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. It's just not a point to be unhappy in your situation. You can always change it. People need to get out of the mindset that they're stuck.
Yep.
You're not stuck.
Yep.
You need to take action. You need to make a plan, and you need to go for it.
Yep.
I would rather know that like you said, failed at a bunch of things that I was interested in trying.
Yeah.
And sit there on my deathbed at the end of my life and said, "Man, I wish I would have
tried those things." Yeah. Look back at it. Like every single person does. Like it's literally top five on the list of regrets in life on deathbed recorded. What did you regret? And top five is not starting a business.
Yeah. Or spending more time with your kids, being with your family, right? Yep. Yeah. That's a powerful thought to keep in mind.
Like, yeah.
Bring that to present day, and that should motivate you to get
100%.
Started.
Cool. Well, hey, guys, thanks so much for listening. We are super excited for this series. Like Noah said, we're going to have some really high-level players. I think it's going to be very far and few in between that we have a player that is at least not at our level.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of the people that are going to be on this show will make us look like small little fish. So
that's
if we talk about our numbers, they'll be nothing, and they'll fail in comparison to these other guys. So we're excited for these high-level players. To come onto the show, but what we're going to be very mindful of, and this is what I want to say on this kickoff episode, is what we're going to be very mindful of is, yes, we're going to have high level players, but we're going to do our best to scale that back and peel off those layers and make it practical.
Mm-hmm.
Get granular with these guys about, hey, how did you get started? Because that's what's so cool is, like, we just had a guy in here, Casey, and like he's one of the biggest guys in our market, and he'll be coming up on a podcast in a couple weeks, and this guy is like luxury flips, couple hundred builds, doing crazy stuff. And 3 years ago, he was wholesaling. 3 years ago, he was just starting a wholesale company. So we peel it back and get granular with him and talk about what steps he took to build an empire to show you that it can be done in 3 years.
Yep.
So we're excited for it. Thanks so much for finding us and stopping by. We look forward to spending some time with you guys.
All right, guys, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Chasing Freedom Podcast with Noah and Jeff.
Please subscribe to our YouTube channel in the show notes below. And if you ever want to get a hold of us, feel free to do it via our Instagrams. You can also follow us for our funny content on TikTok.